This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, May 22nd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Jim Meadows has a report on the Champaign County Nursing Home. The county board tonight will discuss recommendations from a consultant for improving finances at the financially troubled home. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. A billion-dollar project to destroy a deadly nerve agent stored in western Indiana is entering its final stages. Workers have eliminated more than 90% of the cache of the VX nerve agent, a Cold War-era chemical weapon. Jeff Brubaker, the Army's on-site manager, says by late August, contractors expect to destroy the last of the 1,200 tons of VX nerve agent that the Newport Chemical Depot once housed. After that milestone and subsequent cleanup work, workers will begin dismantling two cavernous buildings erected to destroy the nerve agent for the depot's planned 2011 closure. After two failed attempts to find private companies to dispose of the VX wastewater, the Army signed a contract last year to incinerate nearly 2 million gallons of the waste called hydrolysate in Port Arthur, Texas. The VX destruction at Newport began in May 2005. The Illinois House has approved a state budget package, but it has an uncertain future, as Sean Crawford reports.
Dozens of Democrat-backed measures that would provide a range of funding for schools, health care, and other needs. Moved through the House, from an austere keep-the-lights-on type of plan to what is referred to as wish lists. The package offers a smorgasbord of options to pay for government. While ruling Democrats see it as a way to get a new budget and adjourn before the end of the month, Republicans who've had little say in the negotiations call it a charade. Litchfield House Democrat Gary Hannig sparred with Republican Roger Eddy of Hudsonville.
This is the best that we have, Representative, because you have no budget.
Representative.
So we're working to put a budget together that makes sense.
That's absolutely disingenuous to stand up today
and say
we haven't offered a budget
when during this
process we've had no input.
The measures now move to the state Senate, but that chamber might not want to move forward with the House's version. The Senate is working on its own budget plan. Both chambers must agree on the same legislation before their work is done. Governor Rod Blagojevich has been on the sideline during most of the talks, but he could keep lawmakers in Springfield if he chooses. Neither the House or Senate plan are on par with the spending plan Blagojevich has proposed. I'm Sean Crawford.
Former State Police Lieutenant Mike Callahan says the reversal of a jury verdict in his favor doesn't take away from what he exposed in court. Newlyweds Dyke and Karen Rhodes were murdered in their Paris, Illinois home in 1986. Callahan says his efforts to reinvestigate the deaths were blocked by superiors. He filed a lawsuit, and a federal jury in Urbana awarded damages in 2005. Tuesday, a federal appeals court reversed that verdict, citing a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision that strips government workers of some First Amendment rights. Callahan says that ruling is unfortunate, but doesn't deter from what he proved 3 years ago.
The jury, you know, they have said time and again they saw all the lying, they saw the cover-ups, they saw the misconduct. The jury held in my favor. None of the facts are changed in my case. It's just that the Supreme Court took away my First Amendment right to speak out. So that's about the only thing they'll return my case.
Callahan's lawsuit is at least partially credited with setting free two men who were originally convicted in the murders, Randy Steidel and Herb Whitlock. Callahan was transferred after he tried to investigate a politically connected man who was initially a person of interest in the Rhodes murders. Callahan has the reversal of this verdict, and the cover-up that occurred raises questions about the ability of police officers to speak out against alleged corruption. Former Bolingbrook Police Sergeant Drew Peterson is expected in court for a ruling on whether ownership of several guns can be transferred to an adult son. Illinois State Police seized 11 guns from Peterson's Bolingbrook home on November 1st in an ongoing investigation into the disappearance of wife Stacy Peterson. Drew Peterson has been named a suspect in the case. Authorities Wednesday charged Peterson with unlawful use of a weapon for one of those guns, a semi-automatic rifle. State police said the gun was too short under Illinois law. He later posted bail at Will County Jail. Peterson's lawyer, Joel Brodsky, claims the weapons charge was an attempt to harass Peterson, which state police denied. Police are also investigating the death of Peterson's third wife, Kathleen Savio. Young adults who make less than the minimum wage may get raises thanks to Illinois legislators. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The minimum wage isn't absolute. Illinois law allows employers to pay minors 50 cents less an hour. Giselle Gonzalez, now a student at Columbia, says she worked at a Cold Stone ice cream shop in high school.
I always showed up to work on time while working at Cold Stone and did the jobs that were asked of me. I was very flexible and able to pick up hours with little notice. There was no reason for me to be paid below the minimum wage because of my age. I was doing the job that was expected of me.
The Illinois House has passed a measure that would level out the minimum wage across all ages. Now a Senate committee's also gotten behind the proposal. Critics say the 50-cent differential is in place because younger workers need more supervision and training. They also say forcing businesses to pay teens more will hurt, not help them, because employers won't hire as many young people for jobs. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Parents are encouraged to sign up their kids now for state-required eye exams. A new Illinois law requires kindergartners and first-time students to get a comprehensive exam. Steve Preckwinkle is with the Illinois Federation of Teachers. He says teachers expect students to be prepared to learn when school starts. He encourages scheduling appointments as soon as possible.
Late summer appointments tend to fill up on the schedules with the backlogs of back-to-school eye exams. We want to do all that we can to make sure Illinois children are fully equipped, ready to learn when school starts in the fall.
Under the law, proof of an eye exam is required by October of each school year. Those who fail to comply can have their report cards withheld. Kentucky and Missouri have similar requirements in place. Illinois is offering assistance for families who can't afford the exam. Indianapolis will install tamper-proof donation boxes at downtown locations frequented by panhandlers in an effort to discourage begging. A spokesman for Mayor Greg Ballard says the mayor and advocates for the homeless will unveil the boxes today. The money placed in the boxes will go to groups that help the homeless. Earlier this year, Ballard announced tighter enforcement of the city's panhandling laws. He also began a public awareness campaign to encourage people to give to charities rather than panhandlers. The mayor has also suggested that panhandlers buy a license, as street vendors do. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Tonight, the Champaign County Board will discuss recommendations from a consultant for improving finances at the Champaign County Nursing Home. County officials say they understand that they have to act quickly and decisively to fix the nursing home's precarious finances. But even with those changes, many are saying that more tax money will be needed to balance the books. AM 580's Jim Meadows has this report.
Champaign County officials thought the nursing home was on the road to financial recovery until 2 months ago, when the state cut the home's Medicaid reimbursement by $600,000. The county board responded with an emergency fund transfer for the nursing home for $775,000. Administrator Andrew Buffenbarger plans to ask the county board next month for another $460,000. Many county board members seem resigned to approving the money while they look for ways to cut nursing home expenses and increase revenue. But not Republican County Board Member Brad Jones of Champaign, who gave this comment to the new nursing home board on Tuesday.
We do not have money to be giving to the nursing home. I am against the transfer next month. I think it's a mistake to do that, but I'm very concerned about another transfer coming even after that this year. And I want to convey to you guys the urgency of moving forward with some of these changes, because we've got to do something immediately right now to turn this around.
Actually, Administrator Buffenbarger says they may need another transfer of funds as soon as this fall. And if the county is ill-equipped to loan the nursing home money now, County Treasurer Dan Welch says it will be absolutely impossible after that. So county board members have talked about turning to the voters. They may ask them to approve an increase in the property tax that helps fund nursing home operations. The wisdom of that idea depends on who you talk to. Republican County Board Member Chris Dennitz of Rural Muhammad told a recent Finance Committee meeting what he's been hearing in County Board District 1.
I see a lot of people every day, and this has obviously been a hot topic in the county in the last 6 weeks or so, and not one of my constituents says anything good about a tax increase. They won't support it. Not one person has come to me and said, we need to do this.
And where I live, it's almost exactly the opposite.
That second voice belongs to Finance Committee Chairman Brendan McGinty of Urbana, talking about what he's been hearing in District 9. McGinty attended the county board's Democratic caucus this week, where the nursing home tax referendum was the big topic.
At this point, I think that if we want to stay in the business of running this nursing home, we're going to need some kind of help. Even with all of the enhancements that we can make, we're learning that we can't rely on Medicaid reimbursement at a particular level.
In fact, among County Board Democrats, the question appears to be not whether to ask voters for a nursing home tax increase, but how much to ask for. While some Democrats want to ask for the legal maximum allowed, McGinty says he wants a smaller increase tied closely to the progress the nursing home makes in improving its finances. But a tax referendum will only help the nursing home if voters approve it. At the Finance Committee meeting, Republican County Board Member Steve Mosier of rural Urbana said this tax proposal may not have the broad bipartisan support given to past tax questions, such as the quarter-cent sales tax for public safety approved 10 years ago. And he says the possibility of the nursing home running out of money again before Election Day won't help either.
And I don't see how you can go into November gambling that you're going to get another yes vote and have somebody come back here again in August or September and say we need another $460,000 because we can't make payroll. We're not going to be able to do that one more time.
These tax questions will be on the minds of Champaign County board members tonight as they listen to the consultants' proposals for the county nursing home. Whatever the nursing home does now to improve its finances will have a direct effect on any requests for money that it makes in the next few weeks and months. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, becoming mostly cloudy, a chance of showers or thunderstorm this afternoon, the high around 71. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 50. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around the upper 60s. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low around 52. Sunny skies Saturday, the high 75. Mostly clear Saturday night and Sunday, the low around 52. The high in the lower 80s. Partly cloudy Sunday night, the low around 62 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, May 22nd, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.